And then I heard Rick, who's now been playing, heard him say Molyneux, and I thought, okay, well, it was Stephen Molyneux, and he's with us now. And he has 12 previous books, to be found at freedomain.com/books. FREEDOMAIN, freedomain.com. And just a little bit more about him. He's stepping up to his microphone as we speak. Stephen's traveled to Australia for a sold-out speaking tour addressing the future of freedom and necessity for philosophy. Other live appearances have included presentations at the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, Libertopia, 2010 and 2012, Students for Liberty, that's 10, 11, and 13, Freedom Fest, Liberty Now, Speech Q&A, Capitalism and Morality, Part 1 and 2, Liberty Fest West, the Brazilian Mises Institute, Ideas and Movimento, Part 1 and Part 2, Freedom Summit, and the Next Web Europe Conference. He also stars in the media documentary Hoaxed, www.hoaxedmovie.com, H-O-A-X-E-D, movie.com. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, and then the pen, the keyboard, the spoken word, and the documentary are indeed mightier than the sword. The best castle and fortress is the one that nobody knows of, but where he speaks to us from today. Without further ado, here he is, Stephen Molyneux. Welcome back, Stephen. Great to talk to you again.
Thanks, John. It's been a while. A great pleasure to be back. How are you, brother?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, it has been a while. February 8th, 2021, yeah. It's been a while. It sure feels like longer. It feels like last year.
Last year has been dog years, right? Last year has been an insane, hyper-accelerated slingshot to fascism kind of year. So it's not surprising that we're all feeling a little time dilated. I'm feeling so old. I think I've looped around and I'm wearing diapers and my hair's coming back. That's all I've got going on at the moment.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's some pretty good fashion sense given the times. let me ask you, is there something by way of a philosophical cycle that you have observed? In other words, we have the Platos, and we have the Socrates, and we have the Aristotles, Hippolytus. All of these philosophers and true students of natural science and the natural man and the way he thinks, and this includes women too, I'm sure. So they remain constant, but I'm wondering, is there a philosophical subcycle that seems to repeat? Because the answer that I'm looking for is the question: why has suddenly all these horrible things like communism, socialism, and fascism become okay, sort of become the vogue among some? Is that just an illusion, or what is that? Or pick any of those questions.
Well, I think the fundamental pattern is that freedom breeds inequality. Inequality is progress. Inequality is progress. And if you want to progress as a society, if you want to become wealthier, if you want to become better at your arts and better at your crafts and better at your sciences, then you need to let a small number of people who are fantastic at what they do control the resources. So you need the best entrepreneurs in control of capital. You need the best scientists in control of science. You need the best engineers in control of engineering. And those people are very few. And so when you get freedom, what happens is the resources tend to be accumulated by people who are really, really good at maximizing those resources. But then what happens is, even though the rising tide is to a large degree lifting all boats, you get this inequality. And people, even though they might have been two or three or four times wealthier than their own parents or their grandparents, they look at the people who are 1,000 times wealthier than they are. And then the sophists come in and they say, aha, the wealth should be equal, my friends. And the only reason that Jeff Bezos has more money, or the only reason that Warren Buffett has more money, or Bill Gates has more money, is they're predatory, soulless psychopaths who've stolen from your family. And then what happens is you get this, well, how can we possibly have homeless people in a city of wealth? We've just got to take a little bit of money through the power of the state, give it to the poor. And that begins the decline that we see accelerating now.
then what?
Well, then we either fall down into a dark age or we learn the lessons and turn it around. And those lessons are getting harder to learn every day.
I believe we have reconnected with Stefan Molyneux, so let's give it a whirl, shall we, Stefan?
Yes, indeed. Am I sounding a little clearer and better now?
Yes, you are. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it very much. I want everything you say to be heard clearly by everybody. Okay?
All right. I'm on it.
So, now, I know you are. Thank you. Through the eyes of the history scholar, you've now most recently seen censorship, travel restrictions, divisiveness, lockdowns, gun grabs, religious persecution, even COVID internment camps in your own backyard. So how does the enablement of amnesia and myopia exist within even the immediate descendants of some of history's harshest lessons? Why is all of this okay? And why aren't more people raising H-E-L-L?
Well, there's a lot to that question. I think it goes back to childhood, John. When I grew up, we largely had an anarchic paradise of a childhood. We were outdoors with a bunch of other kids. We had our little bicycle gangs, and we roamed around the forests, and we had campfires, and we learned how to assess risk. We learned how to jump. We learned how to roll. We learned how to roll with the punches, and we got very good at figuring out what was really dangerous and what was not dangerous. Because, you know, the edge of excitement in human life is when things are kind of dangerous but not suicidal. And now kids are staying home so much and they're so bubble wrapped and they've got these, you know, cautious, hyper-vigilant Karen helicopter teachers always telling them to be careful and don't jump and don't get hurt. And I think people have lost any sense of really how to assess risk. I was just reading about a COVID trial of a new vaccine, and they tested it out on 30,000 people. And in the non-vaccinated group, there were, I think, 74 COVID infections out of 30,000 people. And in the vaccinated group, there were 13, and there was one death that wasn't even counted. So we're talking one in 30,000 people dying. But because we don't have any sense of how to assess risk, we don't have the math skills, we don't have the life skills, we don't have the statistical skills, we cannot establish what is safe and what is dangerous anymore, which means that we're very easily led to the slaughter of paranoia. You know, in the past, it used to be, it's the carbon atoms in the air that'll kill you. And now it's the COVID in the air that will kill you. And frankly, if you're not overweight, if you're not very old, if you don't have comorbidities, your chances of dying of this thing, you're probably more in danger driving to get your vaccination than you are from COVID. And of course, I think that they're severely underplaying the dangers of the vaccine itself. And so people have just been frightened of the air. They've been frightened into their homes. And fear builds on itself. If you can make people afraid for long enough, they'll start convincing themselves that the fear is real, that the fear is escalating. And now they have a perfect situation because it's an unsolvable problem. As soon as you get a vaccine, oh no, there's a new variant. And the new variant is really dangerous and it's spreading and you've got to get a booster shot. When does this end? When does it end? Well, you know, it ends with economic collapse if we're not too careful. And the side effects of these lockdowns are unbelievably brutal. I was talking about this well over a year ago, that the side effects here in Ontario, it will take them close to half a decade to clear the decks of all of the delayed surgeries. And people are living in hell because they're in chronic pain. They can't get the knee surgeries. They can't get the hip surgeries. They can't get routine medical care. And people are taking handfuls of opioid drugs and living in suffering and being taxed for all the health care that they're not getting a hold of. And I don't know. I mean, how much are people going to have to suffer before they say enough? But of course, it's another thing is that the COVID is a perfect way to establish a bigger and bigger government, because you can say, well, protesting is dangerous. Protesting spreads the virus, so we can't let anyone protest. And people are, well, I don't even want to say they're falling for it. It's just that we've made so many bad decisions over the last 60 or 70 years as a society that, you know, this is the crop that we've sown, and this is this sort of hellish flower that we're getting at the moment.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to have a psychology degree to understand that nobody likes being told they're wrong. But what they really don't like is if you tell them they're wrong and then it turns out that you're right, they are wrong. That'll just put people off.
Well, this is what I said this. I was actually in Hong Kong just before. I guess it was already circulating. It was late in 2019. I was out in Hong Kong shooting a documentary on the dangers of China, oddly enough. And actually, I was on Joe Rogan's show about 7 years ago talking about the dangers of biological warfare. And, you know, it's like we've poured trillions and trillions of dollars into these aircraft carrier fleets and these giant air forces and giant armies and, you know, armadas of tanks. And none of this means anything because the new warfare is still biological, and biological warfare is incredibly powerful. It bypasses all of your regular defenses. And you don't need, you know, if you want to launch a missile, you can track the missile. If you want to drop a bomb, you can track the airplane. But if some guy with a cough gets off a plane and goes and touches a bunch of elevator buttons, you can't track that at all. I mean, so just creating this stuff and spreading it. Now, I don't know if it was spread intentionally. I'm pretty sure it came from the lab. And I'm pretty sure that we know for a fact that China let it spread internationally while closing their borders internally. So we know that the spread was facilitated, and I'm pretty sure it came from the lab. But this is what we've been pouring all of this money into, these big giant defense systems, which are completely helpless against this. And it really is a remarkable thing to see just how misallocated all of our resources have been in the development of the military industrial complex. It's done nothing for all of this, because we thought, oh my gosh, what if a whole bunch of communists invaded and took away our freedoms? Wouldn't that be terrible? It would be the worst thing in the world. But it turns out just a virus facilitated by the communists comes in and they take our freedoms anyway. It's just a very strange situation. And I'm kind of half and half about it, because it is a terrible thing that's happening, but at least it's starting to wake people up about whether they're being protected, about whether they're being told the truth. You know, I started talking about the lab leak hypothesis early last year. I was one of the first people to get all the data and the research out to the general public. I did a whole presentation called The Case Against China. And I was suppressed, deplatformed, censored, got kicked off a variety of mechanisms, social media mechanisms, payment mechanisms, and so on. And now, lo and behold, look what's happened. Now you can talk about this openly, and it's an accepted hypothesis. Not that anyone's circling back and saying thank you to the people who talked about it early. Not that anyone's circling back and saying, oh, I'm sorry, here's your social media platforms back, because that's, you know, that would require a level of human integrity far beyond the pale these days. But I hope that people are starting to understand the just amount of nonsense that's being shoveled at them, because the real virus is totalitarianism. The real virus is communism. COVID is just how it spreads.
HIV insertions. Gee, that's naturally occurring, right? No. And then the usual thing about a wet market and all this nonsense. And I understand they have actual video of bats. I don't know. I'm being facetious here, but comes close to being pretty accurate. No, they got bats flying around the Wuhan lab.
Yeah, but not the horseshoe bats, right? You know, not the bats that carry coronavirus. The only bats that carry even could conceivably carry anything close to SARS-CoV-2 was 700 miles away, deep in the caves, and it was winter, so the bats were all hibernating. So unless they can wake from a deep cryogenic sleep, ski uphill 700 miles, infecting no one along the way, and then just happen to infect people right outside the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which has been faulted many times for having very lax security standards, and wherein significant sections of the building had about the same level of biosecurity as your average dentist office. Well, I mean, this is something that strains credulity to the point where if people were taught any kind of critical thinking skills, they never would have swallowed this story to begin with. It's just a country the size of China, and the virus just happens to emerge 400 feet from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I mean, come on. This is not even close to something that could be believed. And you have people from the Wuhan Institute of Virology ending up in hospital with strange flu-like illnesses in 2019. You have bat researchers splashed with blood of horseshoe bats. I mean, it's not even close. It's not even close. And people are like, well, we don't know for sure. And it's like, but there's proof beyond a reasonable doubt. There's very few things in life, certainly in the realm of crime. This is a huge crime. There's very few things in the criminal system which are proven beyond, like 100% proven. Maybe if you've got video and 100 eyewitnesses and so on, you can get that. But most of it is just proof beyond a reasonable doubt, 95% plus certainty. I certainly think we've got that if we want it.
You know what I find interesting is, according to a Google search going back to 2015, I figured that was a wide enough margin. Quote, the overall burden of influenza for the 2015-2016 season was an estimated 24 million influenza illnesses, 11 million influenza-associated medical visits, 280,000 influenza-related hospitalizations, and 23,000 flu-associated deaths. Estimated influenza disease burden by season, United States 2010 through dot, dot, dot. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I think. China released this deliberately. They did it because President Trump cut the money off. I believe they released it out of Lombardy, Italy, a garment-making part of Italy. And all these people went all over the world in closed cabin airliners and so forth. It was deliberate. This is World War III. Light. Semi. We'll be back. Okay. Psychologists now believe that abusers in many different situations use the same methods to achieve control over their victims. For example, victims of domestic violence or childhood abuse often report having experienced similar treatment. These methods include isolation.
Stay home. The virus will get you.
Monopolization of perception. Focus on the virus, the deadly virus. It wants to kill you. You don't want to be killed, do you? Induced exhaustion. Let's start with the mental exhaustion, debilitation. Threats. Do as we say, or you could be jailed. You could lose your job, or you could be grabbed by the neck, but like this one cop did to a kid in Melbourne, I think it was, choked him out, and then threw him on the floor like a sack of potatoes. I saw his head bounce off the floor. Occasional indulgences. Well, if you wear your little booty block and you wear two masks, we'll let you go outside to the park and have a hot dog. Demonstrating omnipotence and omniscience. We're everywhere. We're watching. We want to do COVID tracking. We want to know who you're standing next to. We want you to have a vaccine passport. We want you to have the app on your phone. You must do this. You want to be a good citizen, don't you? Don't you? Degradation. You scumbags, you're just in it for yourselves. You don't care about people. Some of us aren't going to wear sunscreen to keep somebody else from getting a sunburn, you know? And enforcing trivial demands. Wear your masks. Wear your masks. Wear two masks. Stefan, I don't know about you, but I'm sick of this. And in fact, I'm sick of watching it happen to other people. I quit doing it. I don't do masks. And if I have to, then I'll just go somewhere else. Where do you come up on this issue? I may be a little radical for some tastes.
No, well, listen, if you're too radical for me, I don't even know where you stand on the spectrum, but it's somewhere outside of Pluto's orbit. So the thing I think that is very surprising to people is that you and I, old enough to have grown up with a fair amount of liberties, and I was there for the glory days of, you know, 2006 to 2016 of the internet's true free speech era, the golden days of free speech. What's really amazing, John, is just how quickly the freedoms have gone. How quickly, with no debate, or wherever you've tried to have debate, the debate has just been viciously and brutally suppressed. No debate. No debate in the legislature, no pushback from the courts. All of these weird emergency powers emerging like bolts of lightning from Zeus's hammer. It's just astounding that nobody has sat there and said, okay, well, let's look at the real death count. Let's figure out where it is relative to the regular flu. Let's figure out what the costs of not getting regular health care and checkups and cancer screenings and so on. Let's look at the costs of depression and anxiety and suicidality. Let's try and have a weighed and measured look at the costs and benefits of this. Let's look at the cost of the economy of these lockdowns has been absolutely staggering. But of course, it's mostly hit the bourgeois, right? The enemies of the big government, which are the small business owners who tend to push back pretty hard against big government because they got to pay a lot of taxes and don't have an army of lawyers to plow through the red tape. So the enemies of the left have been largely hit pretty hard by this, which I guess is kind of convenient as a whole. And no one to my knowledge has said, because everybody has said to me, I'm not a fan of mass immigration. Everyone has said to me since I was a little kid, but mass immigration is so good for the economy. Okay, well, mass immigration also helped spread the pandemic. And so have the benefits of mass immigration been outweighed by the economic destruction of COVID and the lockdowns? There's no debate about any of this. It's absolutely astounding for most people that it was all tissue thing and can taken away on a whim.
Very good. And when we come back, I want to talk about maybe some of the warnings of Pastor Martin Niemöller in your own backyard as we carry on with Stephen Molyneux and me, John B., right here. Stand by. We carry on now with Stephen Molyneux. What about some of the warnings of the good Pastor Martin Niemöller in your own backyard, maybe having registered with you? I've got a note here to ask you about it.
So is this the fellow who said, you know, first they came for the trade unionists and I said nothing because I wasn't a trade unionist, and then they came for the Catholics and I said nothing because I wasn't a Catholic, and eventually they came for me, but there was no one left to speak up for me? This is the idea that we either stand or fall together. Look, it really comes down to whether you want the existing system to continue or not. If you want the existing system to continue, then COVID is bad. If you want something to replace the existing system, then COVID has transitional capacities that obviously the bad guys want to use it to create, the Great Reset, and the socialism, the communism, the totalitarianism, the social credit score, the infinite tracking, the whatever they're going to do, right? But for those of us who are like, you know, this system is rotten to the core, it's a violation of the most foundational moral standards of humankind, which is thou shalt not steal. The entire system relies on pillaging from the population, pillaging from the next generation, pillaging through debt, pillaging through inflation. And so thou shalt not steal has been cruelly violated. And whenever you have a system that's based on immorality, the next commandment to fall is always thou shalt not bear false witness. Because when you have a system based on evil, the first thing that you have to do, and the only thing that you really have to do, is continually lie about it. And they don't say, well, you know, we want to buy votes by giving poor people and the military-industrial complex money and protecting the rich people through corporate fictionhood, the legal shields for the immoralities and predations that they perform. They don't want to say that. They want to say, oh, but we care about the poor. And they don't want to say, well, we're using this as a great excuse to take your liberties away. They say, well, you know, there's this dangerous virus and we just want to keep you safe. So thou shalt not steal has to be covered up with the bearing of false witness. And to me, theft and lying are the most common violations. Not many people go around murdering, and rape is rare and assault is rare. But man, theft and lying are the two rotten pillars that our entire system is built on. And people are waking up to that. And would you rather have people wake up now or 10 years from now or 20 years from now, when there's been even more infiltration, there's been even more mass immigration? You know, personally, if there is to be an awakening, I would rather it be sooner than later. You know, as the old saying goes, if there is to be war, a spiritual war, a philosophical war, a war of words, let it come in my time so my child shall know peace. So I'm half and half. I don't like it, but at the same time, it's accelerated the demise of the rotten empire system and the imperialist system to the point where maybe we can get something better out of this fast-forward collapse.
You know, we would not know 95% of the crooked machinery in our local, state, and federal governments if it were not for this whole COVID-19 lockdown. First, they started losing their minds over the advent of President Trump, he may not like his style, but I'll tell you what, he sure corrected a lot of problems, and now they've gone around dismantling as best they can the things that he's done. And behold, just the easiest example is this border crisis. It's absolutely stupid how crazy it is down there. But that's just the beginning. And then there's the inflation, and there are all these other things.
Well, and you know, have, of course, the U.S. I saw this meme. It's a pretty good meme, John. It's like, it's a map of the world, and on it is, you know, the sort of red spots of all of the 780 military bases America has around the world. It's like, this is where your military is. And then there's a map of the south. There's an arrow to the southern border of the U.S. saying, this is where the invasion is. And that's pretty wild when you think about it. Again, $1 trillion a year on the U.S. military can't stop something that comes, I believe, from a lab. And it doesn't seem to have any power to stop what's going on the southern border. I know Trump tried for quite a long time. And then you compare this mess to the country of El Salvador, which is really interesting, fascinating country at the moment. First of all, they just, as the first country in the world to make Bitcoin legal tender, which is really something. I think that means you can even pay your taxes in Bitcoin, which reduces the demand for fiat currency and reduces the demand for the US dollar as the reserve currency. And it was the murder capital of the world up till 3 years ago. And now the leader of El Salvador has managed to cut violent crime by over 70% in 3 years, just after he got elected. And he said, it's actually pretty easy to do. It's pretty easy to keep your citizens safe. You just take the bad guys, you put them on trial, and if they're guilty, you put them in prison and you keep them there. You know, what Giuliani did with New York City in the 70s and 80s and so on. And so whenever you look at, you know, festering crime, it's simply there because people are allowing it to happen. The invasion is happening because people are allowing it to happen. And Trump showed that you could stop it if you wanted it. And I tell you this too, coronavirus is really showing people that if you want to have a border, you can have a hell of a border if you want, because you can just shut down flights. You can shut down immigration. You can just like a big switch. Everyone's like, oh, you can't. It's impossible. This, that, and the other. And it's like they've just shown that with a big giant switch, like the Canadian-U.S. border has been closed, what, for a year now? And there's no signs of it reopening.
Yep.
They can shut off flights. They can they can make your country as secure as they want to be. They just don't have the will, or rather, because the people coming into the country vote for the Democrats want it open. If immigrants voted Republican, there'd already be a Democrat-built wall visible from space.
I just lose you again?
No, I finished. I know you were quite shocked when I finished a point right before the music came, but no, I'm still here. I just wasn't sure if you were going to pick up on the point or whether I should keep going.
No, I was waiting on you. I'm soaking it up like a sponge. Keep rolling. Sorry.
Yeah, so there's been a huge amount of revelations. All of the rights, you know, it's what President Bush said years ago. The Constitution is just a GD piece of paper. And I think people are recognizing that the government is not there to protect your rights. The government is there to protect itself, to protect its power. And it views you, it's a very famous video I did many years ago, it views you as a form of livestock. It views you as a tax livestock. When you look at a map of the world, you're not seeing countries, you're seeing tax farms. They are farms where human beings own other human beings. And the only thing that's changed from slavery is now we get to choose our own occupation. And the only reason that's changed is because we're more productive when we believe we have freedoms. But I don't think people really believe that they have their freedoms anymore. And the last thing I'll say, this is really wild to me. How is it possible? Now people have given up like 2% of their adult lives in this lockdown. And you've had people in these 400, 500, 600 square foot bachelor and one bedroom apartments. They've been huddled in there doing nothing, barely leaving, ordering food and watching Netflix. You've just given up like 2% of your entire life. At what point does hiding from the virus take away so much of your life that it's just worth risking it again? That's what's amazing. Like, at what point do you say, look, I just gave up a year of my life. Now, I didn't give up a year of my life, but I know a lot of people have, right? At what point do you say, okay, it's been a year of my life. It's going to be 18 months of my life. Here in Ontario, they've extended the emergency order till December. And you've got Boris Johnson in the UK has just extended it to July, this lockdown stuff. Like, at what point do people say, I'm going to take my chances. I'm going out and I'm just going to take my chances. At what point do people just say, I can't spend my life in a square box cave of digital starvation for the rest of my natural born life? I'm going to go out there. I'm going to start to live again. If I get sick, 99.999%, I'm going to be fine. What they're doing, of course, is they're saying, well, you can have all of that back. We're going to bribe you with your own life back, but you got to take this experimental therapy. And how many people are being told that they're part of an experimental gene therapy? How many people are being told that this thing did not ever pass human trials? How many people are being told that until October of 2022, it's all a clinical trial, and they're part of a big experiment, the very biggest experiment that has ever been performed on a human population throughout the entire history of the world. How many people are fully aware that, the people who aren't taking the vaccines are taking 100% of the approved vaccines, that these things have been declared for emergency use? They were tested for 2 months on animals, no long-term studies, for kids, for pregnant women, for adults, and that the average vaccine goes through 10 years, 10 years of testing, and the failure rate is 94%. But now this entirely new technology, which went through only 2 months of animal testing, is now being injected into literally hundreds of millions of people. And I don't know, my particular approach is, I'm not sure how wise it is to take experimental therapies from people who openly state they want depopulation on a massive scale. It just doesn't seem to, you know, maybe they'll turn out to be fine. I'm not a scientist. I don't know, maybe, but I'm just telling you, I'll need a lot more data under my belt for that.
Well, and there's so much other data that's verifiable and has been. It's the quality of the bona fides, if you will, are impeccable. And that is, San Diego medical authorities some months ago were absolutely baffled because all of their flu cases just magically disappeared. I mean, the way that people think when it gets all official and we go to the courts and you must present your argument in a structured way, blah, blah, blah. How about just some good old common sense? Oh, no, you can't do that. Can't do that. I mean, how many indicators do we need? The fact is that everybody has been told it's a gene therapy drug. Most of the ones who went ahead and took the vaccine anyway just disregarded it, thinking that, well, this other guy is in this office that's got a much more impressive title to it, you know, like Dr. Fauci. He's the head of the health squad of the universe. Surely he knows better than all of these researchers, these independent journalists. Oh, but I'll tell you what, mainstream media doesn't give much play to the 18-year-old who dropped dead from heart problems. What was it, 2 days or was it 2 months after he took the COVID injection?
Oh, it's so heartbreaking.
They've been told.
It's so heartbreaking.
Isn't it?
Yeah, this just comes out of this delusion that we're somehow magically different from everything that came before when scientists very happily put deadly experiments on the human population.
We got about a minute here. Keep that music low, Brother Jimmy. And let me just burn up this minute with Stefan here.
Yeah, so in the past we've had communist scientists performing experiments on people. We've had Nazi scientists performing horrible experiments on people. Everybody knows about the Tuskegee experiments on the black population. You had Japanese doctors very willing to test horrible chemical and biological weapons on Australian prisoners of war. You had doctors saying smoking was good for you. You had doctors saying that alcohol was good for you. You had doctors saying that low fat was good for you. I mean, the amounts of mistakes, sadism, predation, and horrors perpetrated by people in white coats throughout human history are legion. And yet somehow everyone believes there's this magical portal we went through over the last generation where nothing ever bad that happened repeatedly in history can ever happen again. And it's our historical illiteracy that is the real virus. And it is absolutely heartbreaking. And I hope I'm on my knees praying that it turns out all right. But history does not necessarily point in that exact direction at all.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple of bumps there. All right, we'll take our bottom of the hour break and then come right back with myself and Stefan Molyneux. Please stand by, and thanks very much for joining us tonight. This is Caravan. People ask, how does something like the Nazi regime get started? How did the Soviets and the communists, all that, how did that get rid? You're looking at it. This is how it happens. Too many people go, well, I can't resist. I might get hurt. Something might happen to me. Oh, but they're ready to give the kissing of backside treatment when they see a soldier and thank the soldier for their service. How about your service, civilian? Huh? Go ahead, Stefan. You're going to have to love us out of this because I'm edgy tonight over this. I'm getting mad about this whole COVID thing. I'm sick of it. You know what I mean?
Well, it's the longest. I mean, this is a 2 weeks like Pluto has 2 weeks, right? It's the 2 weeks of eternity. It's the 2 weeks of infinity to flatten the curve. And yeah, so, I mean, the Nazi regime came out of the First World War, the hyperinflation, the destruction of the middle class, and in particular it came out because of a threat that was perceived to be brewing in another country. The Germans perceived that communism, which had taken over Russia, of course, was imminently, and they were in fact aiming at and trying to take over Germany, and the communists were doing very well in the parliament, and communism had infiltrated the universities and the media and all of the standard suspects in these kinds of takeovers, because the fighting war is only the end result of the information war. And they freaked out. They panicked. And they thought, oh my gosh, you know, if the communists take over, the communists have always been very explicitly anti-Christian. And Christianity, and in particular the Catholic Church, has been the huge bulwark against communism. And the Germans panicked because they saw what had happened in Russia. They saw the murder of the Christians. They saw the Holodomor. They saw the genocide against the dissidents and the Christians in Ukraine, the forced starvation, the murdering of the kulaks. And Hitler said, I'll keep you safe from the threat emanating from another country. Now, this is an analogy. It's a loose analogy, so it's not obviously one-to-one. But here now, we see a threat coming from another country, coming from China. And the government is promising to keep you safe. But you have to give up bodily autonomy. You have to give up your freedom of movement. And then you can buy it back through taking this experimental therapy. And where are all of the My Body, My Choice people? That if you want to murder a baby in your own womb, that's totally fine, because it's your body, your choice. But if you don't, if you want to be part of the control group and not part of the group that's taking this experimental therapy, if you want to be part of the control group, apparently that's really, really bad. And it's no longer your body, your choice. The one thing being in common is that abortion is anti-life. And if the fears about the vaccine turn out to be true, there's going to be a whole lot of anti-life stuff happening as well. It never was about autonomy, my freedom, my body, my choice. It's just all about subjugation and obedience.
And hopefully there are a few people rethinking their position right now about fleeing California to go somewhere else when they could stay there and work to fix arguably the most beautiful state in the union, put it in the condition it should be in instead of the condition it's in now. Over to you.
Well, I mean, the issues are, I did a whole documentary on California called Sunset in the Golden State, wherein I marched up to the LA City Council and demanded to know how they planned to pay for all of these massive promises that they were giving. But you have, of course, the population of Mexico leans left. So when you get a lot of Hispanics immigrating into a particular region, it's going to turn Democrat. I mean, as you know, California produced some very powerful, and obviously Reagan and others, very successful Republican politicians. But Reagan, of course, made two big mistakes in his presidency, or in his governorship in particular. The first, of course, was that he allowed for amnesty in return for tax cuts, which, of course, he never got. And the second was, as a governor, he signed the No-Fault Divorce Act, which allowed for divorce to run rampant. And so demographics is destiny. If you get a significant Mexican population in the region, and there's lots of exceptions, of course, so you can't ever judge individuals by group averages, but on average you will lose free speech, because free speech is like it generally is a sort of European white male kind of construct. It doesn't really translate well to other cultures, or at least hasn't. Nobody's found a way to do that as yet. You will lose any support for the Republicans, because the Democrats will just offer more free stuff, and the sort of the Anglo-Saxon pride thing, or the European pride thing, which is not even part of Europe anymore, but came over with the Mayflower, is really going to be there. And so I don't know that much can be done. I think what will happen, and this is another sort of effect of the economic problems that have occurred under COVID, in London, over a million immigrants have simply left. They've simply returned home. That's because if the economy begins to really fall apart, then all of the free stuff that's used by the government to lure people in and have them become dependent on the government and vote for bigger and bigger government, if that free stuff starts to become threatened, then there'd be much less of an incentive to make the harrowing, difficult, dangerous, and for 85% of women who get raped along the way, truly hellish journey through the Rio Grande and across the southern border. If you take away the goodies, because then people will come to America for the freedom, not just for the free stuff. In the 19th century, the nation was built on immigration for sure, although it was largely settled and bred. But the immigrants, there was no welfare state. And if you have open borders in a welfare state, you lose your country. You absolutely, this is shown from the Roman Empire onwards. If you have a welfare state and open borders, you lose your country. And so I think it's fine that they're pushing back against Newsom's extreme policies and the lockdown that has produced far worse outcomes in Florida or Texas, which have had very few to no lockdowns at all. But if they can't solve the problem of mass migration, if they can't solve the problem of mass immigration, it's really just fighting a losing battle. I think your sandcastle is just against the tsunami of people who are just going to vote for the left.
Many Americans are aware and pretty vocal about Joe Biden's intimate relations with China, with or without Hunter's nudity. Canada has a deputy prime minister that sits on the WEF with Klaus Schwab, son of a Nazi. Chrystia Freeland's the granddaughter of Michael Chomiak, a World War II Ukraine publisher of Nazi propaganda and anti-Semitic magazines, and people are just not picking up on this, or are they, and they're just not talking about it.
I mean, we have a prime minister, Justin Trudeau, who, when he was asked what he thought the ideal form of government was, he said China. He said the Chinese basic dictatorship has a lot of appealing characteristics. And the great mystery... It's not a mystery in terms of how it came about, but the great mystery of the modern world is how everybody's terrified of Nazis who are virtually non-existent, but nobody's terrified of communists who are everywhere, who are everywhere. When I was in the theater world, I went to the National Theater School of Canada to study acting and playwriting, communists everywhere. In the publishing world, communists everywhere. In the academia, communists everywhere. My gosh, I mean, Joseph McCarthy was more right than he's known, than even he knew. And now, a quarter century after Joseph McCarthy was decisively proven right with the decryption of the Soviet cables, the Venona papers, people are still talking about McCarthyism like it was some imaginary thing. So Nazis have not been a potent political force anywhere since 1945. And even in Germany, they were crumbling before that. You had assassination attempts on Hitler and so on. So Nazis, for well over 70 years, have been a non-existent. But everywhere, it's Nazis everywhere, fascists everywhere. No. That's not the issue. That's simply the shadow cast by the communists. The communists invent enemies to distract you from themselves. And whatever the communists accuse other people of doing, that's exactly what the communists are doing. And so, to me, it is just remarkable if Justin Trudeau or any other political leader had said, if somebody had said, well, what kind of government do you think is ideal? And if he said, well, you know, the